VanWe Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It is a very special Saturday morning. It is 10 o'clock, and this is the VanWe Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWe.
And I'm Adam VanWe.
We are joined in the studio today by my only non-DNA daughter, who is from Spain, and her most excellent boyfriend. So they're going to sit in and watch how everything gets put together before we all go to our house and eat what it was pretty much about a third of Costco, a quarter of Publix, and another trip to Winn-Dixie.
Yep, and we're not going to talk about Spain today, but we will be talking about their somewhat neighbor, Turkey.
Yes. Well, this week was marching right along until it turned into a turkey.
It was.
But first, I'd like to welcome everybody back. All the regulars, thanks for always being there. We depend on you, as you know. And if you're new to the show and just kind of want to hang around for an hour, you might learn something. I say it's a show that has listeners who are strictly on a need-to-know basis, because we will tell you everything you need to know to get by in this complicated financial mess. Have a little quick anecdotal story from last week. We had a caller named Lynn who has a son serving in the military, not needing some money right now, but had inherited some money, and I kind of raced through the usual questions: how long has he got, does he need the money soon, on and on. And then we kind of race through a bunch more things like do this. And it's all very, very much too complicated to get to with an individual caller. So we asked her to contact the office, and Adam said he would make a very detailed recommendation out of what we did last week, which he did. And last we heard, she was going to give it a stab and see how it goes. My moral of the story is, if there's something that is a complicated question and you want to know something about it, you can either call the show and get a little overview of it, or you can simply contact us at the office and we'll go into more depth, or preferably both. Remember, there are no dumb questions, and there are always people out there in the same situation you're in, or people that don't know what you don't know. It is not uncommon. Why would you expect anybody to know all these things we talk about unless it is their job? You shouldn't.
No, not at all. And trust me, he's exactly right. I guarantee you we've probably heard the question before, whatever it is.
Besides, your job as listeners is to make us look good. Easier the question, the better we look. It's very simple.
Man, so shoot us some easy questions, please.
Yeah, there. All right, back to the market. Things were just kind of nice.
Man, it was a great Tuesday, week. Wednesday, if it had just Thursday. Ended after 4 days.
And then it turned into a turkey.
I really can't stand when we get bad Fridays, because it just puts a damper on the whole thing, and it just felt awful. 196-point drop on the Dow on Friday.
Which, in the big scheme of things,
is nothing. It's nothing,
but
I know.
It still hurts.
It just really makes, it sets the mood going into the weekend, and it just makes it feel like last week was awful, when in reality, most stocks were actually up, and Friday was just kind of a one-off. And the NASDAQ actually rose 1.3%, S&P 0.5%, and the Dow was only down 0.5% for the week. So in reality, if you take that without having watched the market all week, you would say, oh, kind of a flat to maybe a little bit up week. But it just felt really bad because of the big drop, and everything was cruising along. But if you look at the month-to-date, the Dow is only down 0.4%. S&P's up 0.6%, and the NASDAQ's up 2.2%. So it's actually been a pretty good August, and it's August, so you expect it to go down anyway.
And speaking of August, I was pointing out to Adam right before the show that this is the center of the fourth year of this show, show number 184. If you want to see time fly, that's a good example.
No kidding. So the big drop on Friday was, once again, all related to tariffs. Mostly. I mean, a little bit more going on there, but a lot of it has to do with that. The Turkish lira, a currency that most of you have probably never thought about before today, because I know I hadn't, is in something of a currency crisis. It dropped 20% relative to the U.S. dollar this week and is now down 40% year-to-date. The European Central Bank, which is kind of their equivalent of the Fed, expressed some serious concern about the currency during the week, and that concern led to the belief that it might sort of spread into other countries, like a virus or something. I don't really know how valid that concern is.
Not very.
No, I don't think so either, but they did say it, and so therefore the market reacted. The president of Turkey didn't help matters much when he declared that they would not lose this economic war, referring to President Trump and the U.S., because we announced that we were going to double the tariffs that were already in place, again, just trying to get everyone to drop all the tariffs. And so that was kind of taken as a declaration of war, economic war. Yeah.
I have a new nickname for Erdogan.
What's that?
He's the Xi wannabe.
Okay.
He made the same move to secure his future there as Xi did in China. And one of them is more capable than the other one. I'll let you figure that out.
Yeah. So the net effect is that there was a total decline in the Turkish market from its January peak of 55%. So you can imagine how happy the Turkish people and investors are about that.
Yeah.
Probably not very.
Well, at least the Iranians are feeling better about themselves. All they got to do is look at Turkey. They're far better off.
That's true.
That's like winning by losing less,
I guess. Turkey isn't the only place overseas that's struggling right now. It's actually kind of hard to find an international market in the black in 2018. This week, Brazil continued its decline after a pretty nice bounce back, but it dropped 9.8% during the week.
I know. Ouch. I didn't sell.
Ouch. That really hurts. So the total decline for the year isn't as bad as it was, but it had almost erased most of the losses for the year. So that one hurt. Russia wasn't far behind this week, dropping 7.7%. China was one of the lone bright spots this week, up about 1%, but year to date is still down close to 20%. Many of the European markets were down between 3 and 4% this week as well. Emerging markets were dragged down by Brazil, dropped about 2.5%. So overall, kind of a bloodbath overseas.
Yeah, and I'll ask sort of a rhetorical question. Do you think tariffs have anything to do with that?
Of course they do, because if you look at overall economic activity, it's increasing. So the only thing out there that could be driving this is tariffs.
Who has to blink? It's not who's going to blink. Who has to blink? They do. We don't. We are self-sustaining in many more ways. Remember just back a few years ago, we were paying about $700 billion a year to import energy. We are now right kind of on the break-even point, even becoming an exporter of some types. We were at the mercy of everybody in the world just a few years ago. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if you ever wonder why we do things like vote for Trump and drill for oil and all that, the simplest thing in the world is that you can't truly be sovereign when you're totally dependent on somebody who can turn a valve and shut you off, which is what Russia has over Europe right now. Mm-hmm. He cut them off in the middle of winter, cut off their natural gas supply. Not anymore, because we're exporting now.
Yeah,
that's everybody's true. Safer, everybody's better, especially us.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting time to follow international markets, because I get the feeling that if this thing gets worked out, look out, it's going to pop.
More pain next week or more gain next
Probably
week?
More pain next week.
But that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, I think it's short term. I really do.
Come
they can't go on forever.
The rest of this year should be dynamite. I just want them to get on it, start talking to these people and having people actually listen and get sane. It's hard to save face and win at the same time, but it's got to be done.
So right. We've got a little bit more. We'll wrap up on the other side.
We'll do. And right before we hang it up for the quick break, I want to say hi to the whole Mississippi clan who are visiting us right now and couldn't possibly fit in this little studio.
No.
There are a lot of them. Anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Adam wants to just wrap up a little thing on the market wrap before I give out the trivia question. So I say, let's go for it.
So another thing that really puzzles me is commodities. Took another hit this week. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. It's pretty modest. The overall index was down 0.7%.
Strong dollar.
But gold fell, silver fell, oil dropped. I mean, it was just kind of across the board.
Only natural gas saved it.
Yeah, that's true. One bright spot, though, was fixed income, finally.
Yeah,
Yeah. So short treasuries gained 17 bips and long treasuries gained 1.4%. The aggregate bond market was up about 0.3%. So
fear and safety
made that loss for the year a little bit less.
Yep.
But still, it was nice to see because bonds had not been doing very well lately.
People are operating out of fear. There is likely to be. Did you see the layoffs, by the way, on Thursday?
Yes, I did.
The all-time record low number of layoffs for that calendar week, 208,000 adjusted seasonally, which meant really only, I think, 181.5 or something like that.
181, yeah, somewhere in there.
Right in there. It's unheard of what's happening out there. Do not be fooled into thinking that wages are not going up.
I really don't believe that.
No, no. This labor market is so short. You saw the JOLTS index.
I did. I didn't have time to dig into the report and what the wages were.
It rose again.
Okay. Yeah, the
job openings exceed people who will take them.
Right.
People have to be emerging from the, I've been out of the workforce, to the, gee, maybe I can find a job. People are retiring. There were a couple hundred thousand retirements last month, and they're being replaced by younger people. It does not mean wages are not rising. Everything says that they are.
Yeah.
Inflation is on the way up, not as fast as some people want it to.
You can't find a small business owner who isn't hiring and is having to pay more. So anecdotally, everywhere you turn, wages are rising.
It's just not showing up
in the data.
You can't pass three stores without one of them having a help wanted sign.
No doubt. These days. No doubt.
Trust me, it's happening out there. You want a job? Get one. You want a better job? Quit. Go get a different one.
Yeah, this
You've never was, had it better.
And just to kind of back that up, this is from First Trust. I found it in one of their emailed newsletters that they send out. The Census Bureau reported that U.S. homeownership rate, seasonally adjusted, rose from 64.2 in the first quarter to 64.3 in the second quarter. That rate has risen each of the past six quarters, and over the past 12 months, 1.77 million Americans became homeowners. The homeownership rate is still well below the 69.2 posted in the second quarter of 2004, but we are gaining on it, and it's actually still a full percentage point below the long-term average.
That may not be all bad.
Well, no, that to me says that this... Everyone's wondering, is the housing market, has it peaked? Is it a bubble? This to me says we're not even close. If we're still a full point below the 50-year average, that means that we need to at least get back to that before we can even talk about that.
Well, you've got two factors working against housing right now, but one working for it. When people are working, more people can afford housing.
Right.
That's the for it. The interest rates and the price increases are the ones working against it. It will find its natural equilibrium point. We just don't want to get it overblown like we did in 06.
No, but we're not even close to that.
We're not close. I agree.
And everyone keeps saying that tastes are changing and young people don't want to buy homes. That's just a bunch of bunk.
Yeah,
maybe they don't when they're 22, but when they're 30 and having kids, I guarantee you they're going to want to.
How many stories have you read lately about the crash of the stock market?
Oh, every time you... Every website.
And people are flocking to internationals now. They're selling domestic stocks and selling internet or buying internationals. They are nuts.
Well, they might be thinking what we're thinking, that they're on sale and it's all going to go away if the tariffs get...
For diversification purposes, yes, but not because you should have a fear of the American market. That's just crazy.
No, I agree.
All right. Well, anyway... Your trivia question for the week, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 904-636-7888. Dial the number, probably be Ken on the other end. How long does the average CEO of the average S&P 500 company keep his or her job?
Wait, what's an average S&P 500 company?
One of the top 500 companies that would be listed in the SPY.
Okay.
They're all average.
Gotcha.
I guess some are more average than others, kind of like Animal Farm.
Very true.
How long does an S&P CEO keep his job in number of years?
Or her.
Well, though the hers haven't been doing very well.
Gosh, really, with Indra Nooyi leaving Pepsi, that was a big blow. Yeah, she's been one of the most famous and successful ones.
That is. And don't look to Silicon Valley to be promoting women to CEO. It doesn't happen.
They'll talk a good game, though.
They talk a great game. They don't do it. You want to take Tesla private? I'd have to dig into the piggy bank.
What a debacle that was this week. Twitter is just one of the best and worst tools ever invented.
And Elon Musk gets into more trouble with his mouth than he does with anything else.
Well, I guess with his fingers, really. Well, gets it out over Twitter, whatever. Like President Trump, actually.
I consider an extension of his mouth, anyway. All right, some common financial mistakes and how to fix them. There are a few people who are a credit to our profession out there. There are others also who are not so praiseworthy. But one of the best is the Chicago Financial Planner. And there are some good writers. My next piece is by him. There's some good writers, one of which is, her name is Katie Brewer. And she came up with a bunch of these that I want to look at. What mistakes do people make and what can you do about them? One, buying a whole life insurance policy. That is truly one of the dumbest moves that most people can make. Why would you buy a whole life policy so that you can pay into it your whole life, and if you live long enough, they'll give you your money back? Yeah. Meanwhile, you're paying several times what it would take a term policy.
But it's not even all your money. It's part of your
money.
That's
right. And if you have a term policy, yes, it terminates one day. You have to set up the term yourself, go into it in a planning mode, and you can buy way more insurance, because what is life insurance? It's insurance on your life. What's in a phrase, right? That means you don't ever want to use it, ever. Now, one of the biggest mistakes that people make and the reason they buy these policies is because the salesman is a liar, plain and simple. The salesman says, it's an investment. You can use it to go to college. You can take that a step further. Well, you can get some of these outlandish claims of being able to have an income tax-free for the rest of your life by using these fully funded life insurance policies. That is the biggest bust since Ponzi.
Yeah, basically they're promising to give you your own money back.
Yeah, and you've got to have it loaned to you, and you have to have an agent who is smart enough not to mech out the policy. That means turn it into a modified endowment contract, which means basically it blows up. It has to return generally 7 to 9%, which they will happily put in an illustration, where the average return over the past few years has been more like 1, 2, or 3. They blow up. They're no good. You're wasting your money. I might find a place for a whole life policy if I live long enough and practice long enough. I haven't yet.
I can't think. I mean, I'm sure they exist, but I can't think of one.
I can't think of one.
And why on earth?
Oh, if you bought it a long time ago and you're uninsurable now. There you go. That's one reason.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I was able to think of something.
Yeah, but honestly, if I told you that you're going to put $250,000 into a policy that when you die is going to pay your heirs $100,000, does that sound like a good deal to you?
I'll take two if they're small.
Yeah. Oh.
Not maxing out your retirement plans. Seriously, people. Half of the people that are eligible for a 401k don't put any money in it. And a small percentage of those don't max it out. A lot of people under the
A small percentage of those do max it out.
Well, yeah, I should say that.
Yeah.
Too many people think that maxing out a 401k is a process of contributing to the point where your employer stops matching it.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
That is not maxing out your 401k, people. It drives people like Adam and me absolutely nuts when we hear these stories. These people have tax bills that are pretty sizable tax bills. You contribute more to your 401k and it becomes an instantly deductible expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the luxury of a 401k, there's a traditional IRA. Now, in all fairness to some of these things, the change in the tax law this year has made the Roth IRA much more interesting. But we get people coming in saying, why should I put it in a Roth 401k, Roth IRA, or anything? And they're making all kinds of money and paying all kinds of taxes. And we say, no. The Roth IRA is for young people, for the most part, who are not making much money and whose tax rates are very, very low, so the value of the deduction is very limited. That's who should be using the Roths.
Yeah, think about it. If you're a married couple and you make over $100,000, more or less, let's call it $125,000. Yeah. Every dollar that you put into your traditional 401k saves you 22% off the top, because that's what you would pay in taxes on that dollar. Mm-hmm. So you automatically get a 22% return just by doing the investment. And then it actually grows in the market. So your potential to, in your first year is, what, 30%?
Let's add a third element to that. All of your capital gains are free.
Yeah.
If your income stays that low, including your capital gains,
well, you not 100. Anything under that.
Yeah,
anything
under that. You got to make sure. It's called planning your income. And you'd be amazed how easy it is to plan your income for most people. The only ones who can't do it really are pretty much on straight salaries or something like that. And even those people can do some income planning by how much they contribute to their 401ks and IRAs. So you want to get your income just to a certain point under the new tax law, and it's like a gold mine. This was a great law, and I've talked about it on and off for a long, long time now. All right, we've got a couple more of these and a whole bunch of other topics coming up right after the break. Lines are open, 222-8255. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I will remind everyone that our trivia question is still available. It is, what is the average time served by an S&P 500 CEO prior to, I guess, running out of underlings to fire because you blame them for everything? That's the only thing I can think of.
And that is actually, if you get it, it's good for a $25 gift certificate to the Homestead Restaurant,
yes,
which if you have not been to, you should go. It's really good.
Yeah. All right, back to some common mistakes and what to do about them. Here's a big one. Ignoring your budget. Oh, I should have told people to send the young children out of the room. I used the B word. Budget.
Everyone's least favorite topic.
It is indeed. And I can't say truthfully that I have been very good about that my whole life, but I mentally keep track of what comes in and goes out. That's not really the best way for people to do this. In fact, we have some very successful budgeters in our client group. Some of them they're just uncannily good at that. Most people, they think about it and then the TV goes on or something and, oh, look over there. It's a terrible thing. But if you make one and stick to it, you will probably be amazed where your money goes. I have used Quicken personally for decades, and it's always fun to ask Quicken simple questions like, how much did I spend on whatever, last year or 2 years ago, something like that. And the more you learn about your own spending habits, the better off you're going to be when it comes to budgeting and taking care of your own money. But the big one, number one from Katie Brewer, is in itself an oxymoron. The mistake in her mind is called investing in annuities. That is an oxymoron. Annuities are not for investing. Annuities are a transfer of risk, process, and answer, a product that does exactly that, transfers your risk to an insurance company. Do you need one? I'll tell you that if you come in for a visit in the office, which, by the way, wouldn't cost you a penny. That's another story. I'll have Adam give you all the contact stuff here in a minute. But when you buy an annuity, about 95% of the time, it's because someone sold it to you. And I mean that quite literally. You were sold on this product. A lot of times you were sold on this product because it was a, quote, investment that could grow. In fact, I'm going to give you the story about the worst financial advice I have heard in my 17 years of radio, something like that. A young father of a 12-year-old, called in one day and he said, I've been talking about saving money for college for my son. And I talked to a financial planner and he suggested a variable annuity.
What?
I'm not making this up. The look on Adam's face told it all. So I said, well, let me just count a few reasons that's not a very good idea. First of all, if the money comes out before you're 59 and a half, you will pay an extra 10% tax on it. It does not grow tax-free. Everything that comes out of there is going to be taxable to you. It is not an investment. It pays a huge commission. You can't get your money back if you make a mistake until the surrender fees are gone, which is usually between 3 and 10 years. And you're paying taxes on growth that you don't have to pay if you use something like a 529 plan. And that's just for starters.
There's so many more.
Oh, there are many, many more.
The worst advice I've ever heard.
And what happens with annuity salesmen far too often, and we do have one exception to that. Everybody knows our friend Stan, the annuity man, who does not do that. But the people who sell them go at you this way. The answer is an annuity. What is your question? So they've got the answer to everything pre-made to put it in there. If you want, if you need a stream of payments for your lifetime, you have three basic options: Social Security, a pension, and an annuity. But the first thing you have to understand is your own situation. How much money will you need in retirement that you have to have because you're going to depend on it? What is your guaranteed lifetime cash flow? If it's solved through a pension and Social Security, you're fine. Why would you need an annuity? If it's not, then you have another problem to solve. I need X amount of money a month, and I'm only going to get Y amount of money a month. How do I fill that gap? Well, you fill that gap with an annuity designed specifically to pay out that much money, and you invest the rest of
your money. And that's only if you're very risk-averse, because you can create that same income stream from a balanced portfolio. There's just risk associated with it.
Absolutely. I love to use the example of my sister, who needed a little bit more than she was getting from Social Security. She bought a little annuity and it started paying her right away. We use single premium immediate annuities, put the money in now, starting the first of the month, you get money back every month, and it's guaranteed by the insurance company for the rest of your life. Cool. You solved a problem. You transferred risk to an annuity company, insurance company, and you solved your problem. And now you come and see Vanway Financial and you say, I've got this other pot of money that I don't need an annuity with. What can we do? And then things start to get even better for you. But when you hear the words investing and annuity out of a salesman, don't walk, run away.
I would love to hear how that salesman tried to pitch an annuity for college savings.
Oh, man. Well,
without lying.
It was the old-fashioned way. Here's your answer. Obviously, what's your question? College, oh, that's fine. 12-year-old, seriously, people? I have kept that in the back of my head for 16 or 17 years as the worst piece of financial advice I've ever heard from anyone.
That's pretty bad.
Given what we do day-to-day and have done for years and years, it's quite amazing that someone could do something stupid enough to stick out for all that time. But I can't ever.
So congratulations,
yeah, whoever you were, may you be a car salesman by now. Thank you very much.
Crazy.
All right. We wanted to give out a
comment. As we mentioned earlier, if you want to find us, we're located in Jacksonville Beach, but we're right off of Butler Boulevard, so easy to get to from everywhere in the city. The easiest way to find us, though, is online, and that's at our website, vanweefinancial.com. If you can't spell Van Wee, which nobody can, it's V-A-N-W-I-E, or for those in the military, Victor, Alpha, November, Whiskey, India, Echo. And every week we add lots of good content to our website. We update our blog, and we post a commercial-free version of this radio show in a podcast format. So just go to our website. You can find all that and more. And you can also book a meeting with us right there. Never a charge for the first initial meeting. And we hope to see you soon.
Yeah. How about that? All right. Now, I mentioned that there are some people who are a credit to our profession, one of them being the Chicago Financial Planner. Those of you who have been with me for a long time on radio or in person know that about once a year I trot around Steve's 10 most important personal financial rules. Well, this piece caught my eye the other day because it could have been written by me, and it was written by the Chicago Financial Planner.
Does this person have a name, or is it?
Yeah, Roger Wolner.
Okay,
I'm not familiar. He truly is a credit to the profession. He's like Kitsy's. There are just a few names that stick out in the world of truly excellent people who do what we do. Present company.
Included?
Excluded or?
Included, hopefully.
Yeah, think about the grammar on that one. After us, including us, or Never mind. Anyway, one, use a third-party custodian.
That's funny. You
How many times have you heard from us, if you can't see your money at an independent website that is owned and operated by someone you know, Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, E-Trade, whatever, if you cannot log on to that with your own login and see everything that's going on with your money, I promise you, you are about to get ripped off.
If it hasn't happened already, it will.
Corollary number one to rule number one is very simple. Don't write a check to your planner or your advisor. If you do that, you might as well write Bernie Madoff on it, because it's going to be gone just like they were.
Now, that doesn't apply to if you are paying for a financial plan and
That's fine.
Paying for something specific that was delivered, but do not take the balance of your IRA and write a check for that amount to your financial planner.
No. Review your account statements. How many times do we say that? Beware the rush job. Some people actually think that investing is a foot race. It is not a foot race. It is something that should be planned first and executed according to the plan. Only invest in what you understand. What is it I say? If I can't explain it to a 12-year-old in 5 minutes, it will not be in your portfolio. A couple more after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can give Troy a call at 662-9794. And he'll get your place looking as good as he's getting mine doing right now. Putting in some color around the house today. Pretty cool. Anyway, the things, how to protect yourself from fraud. There's another one that the Chicago Planner calls affinity fraud, and that means you invest with someone because you have a friend who did or something like that. Well, that part, depending who it is, might be pretty well, because we get a lot of referrals, and we love them, and it works fine. But what he's talking about here is that, oh, I met this nicest man at church, and he sells mutual funds, and so I'm going to put some money with him. Don't invest in people you meet at church. I don't care how nice they are. If they're selling mutual funds, ask them what their day job is, because I promise you that'll be their night job and they're on commissions. Do whatever you do with those folks, but don't invest with them. Elder fraud. There is nothing that I can think of in the world of financial beings that irritates me like people who prey on old people.
It is definitely the lowest form.
They are absolutely the worst. And this responsibility is partly to the younger people whose parents are still alive out there. If you think things are getting a little hinky in your parents' lives financially, you have the obligation to do something about it.
Yeah,
if you call us first, we'll help you do something.
I know this is taken by another thing, but if you see something, say something.
Exactly. Good morning, Chip.
Hey, good morning. In about 5 years, I'm going to start taking money out of my thrift savings plan.
Mm-hmm.
And should I take it all at once and pay the taxes, or just take it monthly and then pay the taxes like that?
There's a third way.
Okay, let's hear that.
You should, my opinion now, you should roll it directly into a self-directed IRA, where you have total control of it. And then you ought to sit down before you do anything else and meet with a financial planner and evaluate your own ongoing needs for the rest of your life. Because you cannot make an intelligent decision on whether or not to annuitize something until you understand your own needs into the future.
So, no, it's not an annuity. They give you an option of taking it out. They call it all at once, but it's monthly or a lump sum.
Yeah.
It's not an annuity.
Well, the monthly one is, it's not called the word annuity probably, but the monthly option will be forever, or there might be a 10-year payout or something like that. Before I did anything, I would get all those rules together in your hand, do a little financial summary, and go see somebody like us or any of the other fee-only RIAs that are certified financial planners. Maybe talk to two or three of them and say, look, I'm getting ready to do this. I don't want to make a mistake. Plan first, make your decisions after.
You don't even need to, I mean, you potentially don't even need to hire one of them. But
right.
Any
Just go
one,
talk.
Any decent CFP, RIA, CFP will sit down with you an hour, go over your options, and make a recommendation. And that'll be for free. So I highly recommend doing what Steve's talking about.
Too many times people come and see us and say, I did this. And we say, you did what?
Mm-hmm.
They made the mistake of planning after acting.
Right.
It's ready, shoot, aim. You know, that's not good planning.
I got you. Thank you very much.
Easy to do and free, too. All right. Do you want to take a shot at the trivia? How many years does a CEO last in a Fortune 500 company?
On average?
I'll say four.
Oh, so close.
You are really close, but a little low. Thank you. We appreciate your call.
Right.
Real close. All right, a couple more of these little goodies. Stay engaged. That's a big one. We tell people all the time that there is a correlation, between the people who come in actively for their meetings. We always notify them quarterly. Those people seem to do better. I can't tell you for sure that it has anything to do with that, but I think over the years we've been in this that it's a tangible result that improves with good communication and engagement with your money and what's going on with it. The bottom line here, the things that can happen to you that are very odious are generally detectable and even preventable if you pay attention. Don't let them happen. And I can't be too specific on this. Only use a fee-only planner. Only. Fee-based does not mean fee-only. Fee-only means fee-only. Check it out through the websites for the CFP Board, Certified Financial Planner. Check it out through NAFA, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. Those people deal with fee-only people. They're easy to find. You should interview a couple. Come to see us or anybody else. If they don't offer you a free hour, then they are not worth your time and attention.
Yeah, that was a good list, but you could actually add Chip's call to that.
Absolutely.
Plan first, act later, I think would be a great addition to that list.
I absolutely agree with you. Well, I promised some people this morning I was going to do this. It's very politically incorrect, which is why I love it.
Uh-oh.
Of course. Fixing Obamacare in the age of McCain.
Oh, man.
If you want an untouchable topic, it is what John McCain has been doing to this country. It is not supposed to be discussed because the poor man is dying of brain cancer. Tough. What he did was to shaft 330 million Americans by flying back to D.C. to cast a dissenting vote when he had promised in his reelection campaign to repeal Obamacare. He was given the chance, and he cast the deciding vote to not get Obamacare repealed because he has a personal animus with Trump, which, by the way, is well-deserved.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'll give him all the credit he deserves. But he ran on it, and he put his own interests ahead of 330 million Americans in not doing that. Trump, being the street fighter he is making inroads to correct that. The first thing that they did, I'm not sure of the order of the first couple. They got rid of the mandate, mm-hmm. the personal mandate in the new tax bill. Good thing. They've started now what are called association plans. Back in 1974, when I went into self-employment, we found out as a young couple that there were not ways to get insurance there through a group plan with people who are not working for a big company. Back in a moment. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. I want to take whatever that's called. That's a trivia question.
Turn your radio down, if you would, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm going to guess 5 years.
Well, you're going to guess just right. Like I say, after 5 years, it appears that they have run out of other people to blame and fire. So they get the axe.
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
Very true.
So I win the prize. Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The homestead.
If you hang on, we'll
put you on
your
hold and Alan will get your address and we'll get it sent out to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye. All right.
So
five years.
Average CEO lasts twice as long as the average NFL player. Interesting.
How many NFL players? players then become CEOs?
Probably not of Fortune 500 companies, but a lot of them do start their own businesses.
Yeah, a lot of them are very much true. And anyway, the association plans, Sarah and I found a long, long, long time ago. We started talking about this in 1976 when she left the school district because, well, the result of that is sitting to my left. But we looked around and found out that it was not legal to form groups of people by some common interest, groups of individual management consultants or whatever the heck it was. If you didn't work for a big employer, you were basically out of luck. So we've been complaining about it for that long. Now, Trump has allowed that, where you can form groups of people. And by the way, it's no longer limited to intrastate. We can now go interstate to do this, breaking a couple 150 years or whatever of tradition where state control of insurance was complete. Something like the Ferguson case from a long time ago. Well, I always appreciated that because I'm a kind of a small government conservative guy, and I like to devolve all functions of government to the lowest possible point. Therefore, state control of insurance to me was very preferable over federal control. However, we ran into an immovable object in those state lines because it wasn't allowing us to do the things that we needed to do to get everybody affordable insurance. That has now been changed. Isn't that wonderful? Now you're seeing a bunch more changes coming up. There are now catastrophic insurance plans available to people over a short run. Well, they had never been allowed under Obama. That's how most of us wiggled through some of the times when we couldn't afford a big full-blown plan. So step by step, inch by inch, Obamacare's going bye-bye, and I couldn't be happier. And speaking of going bye-bye, I'm afraid we have to. See you next week. This is the Bamley Financial Hour.